last week, Alexander was talking to us about why we gather together. And he brought up four main reasons about why we gather together. And gather means get together, assemble together, right? And he didn't go through every reason why we gather, but the four that he went through is that we gather to remember what our God has done. We remember the Lord's Supper. We do that each and every week as the disciples got together in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 to break bread. They did this on a regular basis. You would see that in 1 Corinthians 16, that when you are together on the first day of the week, you do all these other things as well. Is that was what was a huge part of the reason why Christians in the first century, they gathered together. But it's also to mourn their sin. It was to confess their sin to one another so that they could be healed and lifted up. And so we see that throughout the Old Testament. We even see that in the New Testament, in James chapter 2 and in chapter 1, all of those different things. But we also saw that we are gathering together to serve one another, to do what we can for each other, to encourage, and fourthly, to stir up, to be the straw that stirs the drink, to get things going. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, we don't forsake the assembling, the gathering of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but we encourage one another. We motivate, we stir one another so much more as you see the day approaching. And so what I want to deal with this morning is what I want to really begin with asking a very simple question is, should I gather? We gather to do these things. And the question is, should I gather to do these things? So we're going to illustrate this here. You can see I've got our address right here. We got 18 Ridgewood Ave here. So should I gather here at 18 Ridgewood Ave? Well, at 9 o'clock this morning, we were all scattered all throughout. Bonnie and Alexander were literally right next door. So they're if we'd have put them on a map, well, they might even show up on the map, right? The rest of us, we are scattered all throughout North Jersey, now Central Jersey. Those of you that are coming in, don't give me a paw on the Central Jersey. There's no such thing. We're coming from all over the place. But guess what? 11 o'clock, we're all right here. We're gathered together to do the four things that we talked about, right? We are here for that purpose. But yet, the reality is, there are some who are a part of East Orange who are not here right now. They are not gathered with us. And there could be a multitude of reasons why someone would not be here. But maybe it's a sickness. Or maybe it's a choice. Whatever the case is, the goal is to have everyone together. That is what they did on the first day of the week. Now, what then happens is by 1 p.m., guess where we all are? We've all scattered. Corey and Jenny might still be here. They might be the only ones who are still left. But the rest of us, we have gone and we have scattered back to our homes. We're no longer gathered together. But at 4 o'clock, we gather back together. Not in a physical place, but we all gather in a virtual meeting room, the room 965 and then six other digits. That's where we get together. And yet the reality is, not everyone that is a part of the East Orange Church is gathered in that moment. There are others who are not a part of that. They have not signed on. They're not listening. They're not paying attention because they've doing something else, right? And you say, well, Wes, why are we going through all of this, right? Well, it's because I go back to the question of, should I be gathered? Should I be assembled with the others who are assembled together? And maybe it depends upon the situation. So this morning, I want to look at four S's of situations in which you might be asking yourself, should I gather? Should I assemble with other Christians? Now, you can probably guess what I'm saying from this, is that when I am watching, I am not gathering. I watched Auburn yesterday. I love football. You guys know this. It's first Saturday of college football. I watched the game. I watched it online. I didn't go to the game. There's a difference. I felt. I got excited when I was seeing us throw bombs for the first time in really my entire lifetime of watching Auburn football. I felt things. I thought about the things. But no one confused me for being at the game. Now, I want you to think about that in regards to how you have thought about, well, if I watch church, then I go to church. I'm just going to tell you point blank what I think about that. I think you've seen from my graphics what I think about that. We're not gathering together in that case. We have the majority who are together, but then there are others who are, and I'll use the term, spectating. They are watching what is going on. It doesn't mean that you're not encouraged. It doesn't mean that you aren't stirred up. But we're not together. And so, you might be wanting to be together. You might want to be here with other people. Should I gather? Let's think about some situations about why people won't be here. Maybe you're shut in, right? Is the expectation of the shut-ins to be here? I want you to think about a few stories that I'm sure you are very familiar with, right? You think about a story in Luke chapter 4. Where there is this man who is paralyzed. And Jesus has been performing all of these miracles. And there is this home that is filled with people. To the point nobody else can get into the home. And there is this man who is paralyzed. Who is being carried on a bed by his four friends. And when they get to this house that is full as can be. They can't enter in. But they want Jesus to heal their friend. So they cut a hole in the roof and they lower him down into the house. And Jesus saw their faith. He asked the man to get up and rise. And the man took up his bed, he walked. And the Pharisees who were there said, hold on, who is this? Who is this? They can even say this, right? They questioned this whole thing about Jesus. But this lame man, could he have got to Jesus on his own? No, he needed the four to carry him. Or how about that man we just studied in Acts chapter 3 a few weeks ago about the man who had been crippled from birth and how in Acts chapter 3 and verse 3 they laid him at the gate daily. Every day somebody or somebodies was bringing him to that gate so that he could beg alms and pray. Or in John chapter 5, and I want you to open up to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, there's this pool. In this pool, there are oftentimes miracles that take place in this pool. That people will be made well if they get into the water. And so many invalids would come to this place, verse 3. So in these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. And one man was there who had been invalid for 38 years. That is 1 year less than my entire lifetime. So that would have been me last year. Invalid. He had been invalid for 38 years. And when he saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been there a long time. And he said to him, do you want to be healed? And the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. That man didn't have anybody. You see, when you're shut in, you are reliant upon other people. It doesn't mean that you don't want to be there. It means that you can't be there. So, I'll use Philip as the prime example this morning. Philip calls me yesterday. Philip, right? Philip and Bunny, they pretty much had to move down south because it's hard for them to take care of themselves. They would fall into this category. Guess what Philip did? He called me and he said, hey, can you pick me up tomorrow? I didn't call him. He called me. That's somebody who wanted to gather with those of us who were gathered today. That's amazing to me. That somebody would want it that bad. Well, so what about these people who can't be here? Does God expect them to gather with us? Jelaine, how are you going to get here? It's a different situation, isn't it? Well, what about, not only do you have someone who might be sick and they're shut in that way, what if you got someone who is a prisoner? We normally think of prisoners as they have committed some crime and we should go let them rot in jail for a long time, like that drunk driver who just ran over an excellent hockey player this week. That wasn't the idea of necessarily prison that we're reading about in the first century. In fact, in the Roman prison system, you didn't get sentenced to long time in prison. You were in prison until you went to trial, and then at trial, you were either waiting for execution, or you were sold into slavery to pay off some kind of debt, or you were shipped off somewhere else to some exile or what have you. You didn't sit in a prison cell. But yet, Christians throughout the first century are imprisoned. To the point, if you turn to Acts chapter 28, Paul is imprisoned many times. What are you supposed to do while you're in prison? It's kind of hard to gather, isn't it? They don't really just let prisoners just walk right out to prison cell and just, hey, oh, it's Sunday morning at 10 a.m., why don't you go on to church? That's not the way that would have happened, is it? So notice what happens in Acts chapter 28 when Paul gets to Rome. And by the way, there are Christians in Rome. There is a church that is in Rome that he has wanted to get to. But even up to this point, he has never been able to make it to this place. But you would see down now, look at with me in verse 17. So after 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. And when they had gathered, he said to them, brothers, though I've done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. And when they examined me, they set me at liberty and so on and so forth. So he called them to him. And now you'll look down with me in verse 23. So when they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in great numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. These Jews who weren't Christians, he's calling them to come hear about Jesus. Come listen to what the law says. And so some were coming. And you would flip down in verse 30 and notice this. He lived there, that is in Rome, 2 whole years at his own expense. And he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and with all hindrance. Paul was not able to go to them, but they went to Paul. And that is exactly what Hebrews chapter 13 is instilling within us. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers, the people that you don't know. Verse 3, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them. Is that there were Christians who were locked up that they needed to remember to go and see. think you can understand the feeling of someone who is bedridden and how they feel like they're in prison. I think we want people to come visit us, right? That's the idea. Is they can't, they're not expected to be here. But we are expected, and I am expected, to go to them. Should they gather? I don't think they are required to gather. I'm giving another group. How about the sick? Well, maybe I'm shut in because I'm sick. Or maybe I've got the flu. Maybe I've got the COVID, right? Maybe I've just got some kind of allergies, right? But I want you to think about this for a second. I work in the food industry. We have to sign something every time we clock in, and no one ever reads it. So take that kind of with a grain of salt. But what it says is, you've not run a fever for the last 24 hours. You've not experienced some kind of diarrhea, vomiting, some kind of stomach thing, right? You know why that's important in the food service industry? Because you can pass your germs to other people, and other people get sick, and guess what happens? They get other people sick, or in a terrible case, they might die. Okay? So I'm sick. I'm running a fever. What do doctors say about you running a fever? They say go out just normal life, right? They say it's a great idea if you go to work, if you go to school, and you make sure that you hug up and you encourage and you serve everyone that you are around, right? That's exactly what doctors say to do. No, that's not what they say to do, is it? When we had COVID, did they say, oh, why don't you go ahead and just hang out with everybody? It's all good to get your COVID parties in. No, it was you need to be separate. You need to isolate yourself. Well, we have examples of that in the Old Testament. Guess what? When someone was diagnosed with leprosy, a skin condition that was, in fact, very contagious, what were they told to do in Numbers chapter 5? You can flip there in Numbers chapter 5 and see this. Unfortunately, those people, they were commanded, verse 2, that they are put out of the camp. Those who are leprous, who have a discharge, and everyone that is unclean through contact with the dead, and you'll put them out, both male and female, putting them out that they might not defile the camp in the midst of which I dwell. You're going to get other people sick. There's another principle in John chapter 11 that it was better for Jesus to die than for a whole nation to suffer. Sometimes I have to be the one to sacrifice. As much as I would want to be there because I was glad, Psalm 122 and verse 1 said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Like, I want to be there really bad, but am I going to impact and affect others? And that could really hurt the elderly, the children, the immune compromised, all of that, right? Is that what is expected of me on this day? Or maybe I'm someone, I just don't feel 100. I don't really have a fever. I got the allergies. I just don't really feel great. Is there some kind of medicine I can take to make me feel a little bit better? It's interesting, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23, Paul says to Timothy, don't drink just water. But drink a little wine for your stomach's sake, for your frequent infirmities. Can I take some NyQuil, or DayQuil in this case, right? NyQuil, you'd be falling. I'd probably put you to sleep. Alexander probably doesn't put you to sleep, but I'll put you to sleep, NyQuil enough, right? Some allergy medicine? Is there something I can do to try to get me through the next couple hours? Because I'm not going to be a detriment to anyone else, but I want to gather. I want to be there to remember. I want to be there to serve. I want to be there to stir up. I want to be there if I need my sins dealt with? Is there something that I can do to be there? Or what if I'm in the service? We talk about the service as military service oftentimes, right? There's a lot of debate amongst Christians whether or not a Christian should even serve in the military. I'm going to use this a little bit broader. Why do people oftentimes join the military? Well, maybe it's been in times past has been different. So we'll go back to the 60s and the time of the war of Vietnam. There were some who chose to go fight in Vietnam because they didn't want to be drafted to go fight in Vietnam. I would rather get some say in what I'm going to have to do rather than being told I'm going to go. Others are like, man, I want to join the military because 9/11, I'm sparked and I want to defend my country. Others might look at it as, hey, the military will pay for me to go to college afterwards. If I go to the military, the college will be taken care of and I can afford that. I can have some money, I can do all these different things. Well, the reason why you join the military is different. Well, there are other things that we join, that we become a part of, that we do to make money, that we do, quote, as a service, but it's really our job, right? And we do that because we're aware of principles like 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5. When there are widows within a family, and her own family won't take care of her. So Paul says to Timothy in verse 7, command these things as well, so that they be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his house, he's denied the faith, and he is worse than an unbeliever. I've got a family. I've got a wife. I've got kids. I've got people who depend upon me. I need a job. Guess what? I need to work. Because what does Paul say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3? We told all of you who are idle that if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Is that it is your responsibility to go and work. And so maybe we get into our work, into our jobs, because we need to provide. Okay? So, many different professions do require us to miss gatherings sometimes, right? Police, Mike has to work about every other weekend. Firefighters, they rotate a little bit more because of those 24-hour shifts. So it's sporadic a little bit more, right? There are plenty of reasons, and nurses usually are every other weekend. All of those different types of things is... when I'm providing for my family, am I expected to be at services by God? Well, that's a decision that you've got to make. If I've got a choice about it, guess what? I'm going to choose not to go to work. But guess what? I may not have a choice that day. Or maybe I choose not to go in a profession because I want to be able to gather every time. I'm not here to tell you what is right or what is wrong about that situation. Besides, am I doing the best that I can to be gathered? Am I doing every effort? Am I being diligent to make every effort to be there? If I am, guess what? There have been days where I've seen police officers. Mike's a different situation. He lives out in Timbuktu. I've seen people that they take their lunch break at that time, if at all possible, to sneak in. They come in their uniform so that they can be there with the saints. That's incredible. Devotion to that, right? I'm not sure that that's the standard, but what I can tell you is that is a person who doesn't just say, you know what, let me just turn on the TV real fast and get a little Jesus in. That is somebody who is making an effort to be with other Christians. But what about this fourth and this final one? I got some social things going on. I could be a billion things. I could be, I've got a game to attend. I'm part of a team. We got practice this morning. Okay. got church this morning. Right? Well, which one's it going to be? Right? I can't be a practice and church. Well, I volunteered, I signed up, all these, okay. Or maybe I just want to go play sports. I want to go run a marathon. You know, back in my days, I used to love to run. Many of the races that I wanted to run fell on Sunday, which made it difficult to gather with other Christians because it was going to take me 4 hours to run a race. That was a long day, and time didn't always work. Or maybe we're on vacation, or maybe there's a family reunion, or we just got some barbecue that we want to go to. And I can turn on the TV, I can turn on the computer, and I can get my church in, and I can get my social in. I don't think that's what the idea was. In fact, what we see in Acts chapter 21, and we close with this, the situation in Acts chapter 21 isn't necessarily Paul being in a social situation. But what you have is in Acts chapter 20, 21, even to 22, Paul is wanting to be back in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. He has made plans, even while in Asia, to get there as fast as he possibly can, because he wants to be in Jerusalem for the Pentecost, and he's bringing this money that he has collected for Jews who are in need from the Gentiles. And he wants to go and deliver all that ASAP. And it's interesting that every time, or not every time, but many of the times that he is going from city to city, it mentions something about other brethren there. But if you look down in verse 4, let's read verse 3. Of Acts chapter 21. So when he come in the sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria, and we landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unload its cargo. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. When I've got a social thing going on, am I seeking out disciples? Or does that social event, does that become my priority? I would rather be there. And so as we close this morning, when we gather together, when we say it's 11 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock, it's whatever the case, when we are gathered together, I gather probably because of one or two reasons. I want to gather, or I have to gather. There's no commandment in the New Testament that says, like the Sabbath day, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. There isn't a passage in the New Testament that says, remember the Sunday and keep it holy. It's kind of up to us to do that on our own. Because I want to do those four things that we talked about? Or am I here because I have to do it? Or maybe I'm not here. Maybe I don't gather because I can't. I am unable to. It is not what is best for others. Or I need to provide for someone else. I need to watch my child or what have you. Or is it that I'm not here because my priorities are not lined up? Those are soul-searching questions. And I'm not here to tell you what's perfect in every situation. But what I can tell us is that if we aren't being together because we got other things going on, probably ought to start rethinking some of those things that we got going on. Because we want to encourage each other. Because we see a day approaching. A day in which we all will have to give an account for the things that are known and the things that are secret. So it is in our best interest to fear God, keep His commandments. Remember Him. Encourage one another and not forsake gathering together as is the manner of some. Maybe you're here this morning. And you're ready to join the body of Christ. You're ready to be baptized into Jesus. You're ready to have your sins washed away. Or maybe you just need the prayers of this congregation here. Whatever the case may be, why don't you come now as we stand and as we sing.